Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I am your host tonight, Trey Nkrumah. Shabaka Sankore is on the road, so he might be calling in. And tonight we will be having a special edition on homelessness in Denver. So this is episode 257 of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We've been around for 6 years. Thank you to all of our listeners. tonight we're having a special edition, and we will be discussing homelessness in Denver and what is being done to our unhoused neighbors in the Mile High Income City. The sweeps, i.e. traumatic displacements, continue, and the Denver City Council refuses to repeal the urban camping ban. This episode is for those that are 18 years of age or older, and the air date of this show is March 28th, 2022. So I'm going to unmute our callers. Our first caller, I believe I know who this is. Is this Chris Jamada?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing good. I'm living.
Okay. What are your thoughts on homelessness in Denver?
What's my thoughts on it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just depends on basically how you, you know, clarify as far as, like, you know, my thoughts on them, because how they treat people, you know, that's in different situations and stuff like that in their life, you know, it can be a variety of things, you know. But I mean, as far as like trying to tell people where they can't sleep, it's just like telling somebody where they can't eat. So,
right.
I mean, it just all depends on like the situation, you know, because there's always like two sides of a story on there, you know.
Okay, so where I was going with this was, what are your thoughts on the city of Denver and its treatment of our unhoused neighbors, i.e. with the sweeps, with the move along to where, with the urban camping ban? What are your thoughts on all of that?
What is my thoughts on them?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, you know, it just all depends. You can, you know, them doing what they're doing as far as like trying to tell somebody where they should sleep and where they shouldn't sleep. You know, there's like a ton of situations that go on. What does the other like viewers think or people that's on there?
What are your thoughts on the urban camping ban? What are your thoughts on Denver's treatment of our unhoused neighbors, such as policy, such as police? Like, what are your thoughts, LaJosh?
What's your thoughts?
I think it's inhumane. I think it's wrong. And it's just downright evil how the city treats our unhoused neighbors. But I'm trying to have a dialogue with you, so what are your thoughts?
You're trying to keep a what?
I'm trying to have a dialogue with you, so what are your thoughts?
Well, man, you know, I got a lot of thoughts, but, I mean, it doesn't matter if what my thoughts mean is going to count. But ain't there, like, other people that's on the show besides just me and you? What would they think?
It's just us right now, so that's why I keep asking you.
Oh, okay, because I didn't want to just start talking. You know, and then nobody's on there, you know, thinking I'm talking and taking up too much space. But, you know, it just all depends on, like, a situation, you know, on who's out there and what, you know, as far as, like, there's always, you have a transient and you have a homeless person. And homeless just means like something that means away from home, you know, which I would say would be more like white folks and the rich and everything that tries to sit up there and basically make the laws, do things and do all that type of stuff. A transient is somebody, you know what I'm saying, that moves from place to place. You know, but, I mean, a lot of the stuff that's going on in the city, you know, everybody has different issues. So there should be other ways of doing than just kicking somebody out and saying, oh, you don't have rights to be on the street and sleep there, you know, But if somebody has like problems and something and probably been released from like mental health state places, and I think a lot of, there's a lot of orphanage, like a lot of like kids that was like, what is it, was in
no, it was released
foster
out
care,
on
foster care.
Yeah, huh? Foster kids that were released out on the streets when they turned 18.
Yeah, so, you know, man, some people, man, been living on the streets and been finished. Because I've met a couple of, like, brothers and sisters, man, and it's, hearing their stories, you know, it's kind of sad, disheartening. You know, mm-hmm. I don't really want to, I tell, like, some of the situations, I probably won't tell their names, but you know what I'm saying, like, if that's the only life they live, you should be able, I mean, the city got money. They got like over 100 and something damn marijuana like companies where they tax the shit out of, where it's going to the city for somewhere. So somebody's pocketing this money. So you
okay.
can't like build like a facility to like actually help, you know, gradually get these people into like thinking housing, you know, thinking living, because, I mean, being out on the street so long, you know, they don't know the lifestyle even being in, especially if there was abuse or something like that. So it's kind of like, that's what I said, it's like you got to know how to sit up there and anchor it, because, you know, like some people maybe don't want to go to shelters and stuff like that, because we know all the inhumane stuff that goes on in shelters.
But the people listening, okay, so we know the horrors of the shelter, but the people listening might not know. So enlighten them on what the shelter system is like in Denver.
Shit. Well, if I know guys and on in the male shelter, you know, it's almost like a fiend, like survival of the fittest, in somewhere where you got people that's released from prison that might be needing to be paroled, is going to be on there. You know, they're going to be in there because they need a place of residence. So you got that half. You got another half of people who, it's just like a variety of like different people of styles of living.
Right.
You know, you might have some people that just, I mean, when I was, it was living shit, I couldn't, I didn't want to do it. I was like, I take my chances and go out, and if I have to sleep on a parchment, which I did, in a couple of stairwells, you know,
yeah,
I'm going to know what
that.
I got to do. You know what I'm saying? And that's the transient part. You see what I'm saying? Because of, just like how things move in motions like planets and everything, that transition, you got to know how to transition out and in. To and from, like a bus, you know, you're just moving. But if you have no transient, if you don't have no transient home and don't know where to go, you see what I'm saying? How else are you going to move forward unless you have somebody that can sit up there and help you out to actually like move forward and get off the street? I mean, you know how many homeless vets is on the street right now? I mean,
there's like 11,000, 10,000 unhoused people on the streets of Denver right now. At least a third of them are homeless.
If not like majority, which is sad, man, because I talked to one older brother. He was like, he was a vet in, I mean, I can't remember what war he went. I'm pretty sure it's probably Vietnam and something else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was Korean War, but it was one of them wars because he had the hat. But he was out on the street.
Okay.
And I was just like, damn. I said, ain't you know, had his VA benefits that can get him, you know, moving forward and stuff like that. But when it was like, man, I was like, they ain't helping you with a place. He's like, man, I've been through this. I've been through these loops. I've been through that. You know, so, I mean, we're talking about something where they don't even give bets, and you fighting, putting your life on the line for this country.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That was stolen from the real people. You know what I'm saying? And you can't even get, like, a place to just take a bath and brush your teeth, you know, or anything like that. So it's kind of ambiguous how they do things, but I feel like they should use the money, you know, to build something to gradually, like, get them back into, like, society. Because there's, like, all types of walks of life, you know. And if they choose to be somewhere, it's probably because they just feel comfortable, and they probably, like I said, it depends on whatever their issue is and what they're going through.
Okay, well, getting back to the shelters, what are reasons why people don't go to the shelters?
Shit, people steal. They're still, man, it's filthy. It's nasty. I mean, have you ever been to jail? Shit, just picture it like that, but just
right. I compare it to jail as well,
because it's kind of like you've seen it for yourself. You know, I mean, you'd be lucky, you know, if you're in a guy's shelter that somebody ain't beating his meat right next to you. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of fucked up. You know, I had to say it like that, but he might be masturbating, beating his meat next to you, and you trying to get some sleep. I mean, it's horrible. You know, and the thing about it is shelters is a business. You know, you remember the city council meetings we went to, and the rescue mission got awarded $1 million over many occasions. Many occasions. And they have programs that they want to try to get people into, because that's just funding. It's just like schools. The more people you keep in, the more money you'll get. So that means you can hire whatever bullshit of educator or whoever you want to put in here. Just as long as you got bodies, you're going to get money. I mean, shelters ain't no different than a fucking prison or jail. It's just a way of, like, the only difference is the money they get is not going to be like how the government.
What are your thoughts on the city saying that they have enough shelter beds to accommodate everybody that's unhoused on the streets of Denver?
No. I ain't never seen it. You ever seen it? I ain't never seen it.
I've never seen it, but they always say that there's enough beds to go around. And people just
I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah, I mean, where? You know what I'm saying? The government's main freaking job is to keep, especially our people, to keep us down and in poverty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can sit up there and keep us in poverty, you know, and they're going to give us all kind of avenues to go through, you know, as far as, like, you can go this way. You can go, like, I went through programs in shelters, like the New Life program. But, man, that's just not really, what was it, New Life I went through, and then I remember doing the Salvation Army. And all it is you're going to find people that's in the shelters that may have no high self-esteem about themselves, but because they're in the shelter and they got a room in the shelter, and a logo, you know what I'm saying, the brand that they can wear, they're going to sit up there and treat all the people who comes in there different.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm like, and the way I look at it is, it's usually hell for people who don't know how to transition out, you know. So the ones who don't know how to transition out, how do you help them out? Well, you help them out by just sitting up there building some centers. There's land all around fucking Colorado that they done fucking stole from everybody.
Right.
You can actually get some land, or we can get our own land and sit up there and get them housed into a community, you know, and work with them and know how to build and get different little programs started, you know, like real programs, you know, not no false images of a white man coming back and say he's going to save you and everything going to be fucking great, you know.
Jesus saves.
Oh, yeah. Our enslaves, as they call it on the street.
In the un-Samaritan.
And the Samaritan house, now here's something about this. Now, this is something that most people don't realize about the whole shelter thing. In the Samaritan house, like, it used to be, I don't know how it is now. I don't know how it is. But I know, like, at one point, they had, like, you had to join, like, the program. You had to clean. Like chores, they give you chores, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. And when you go to these chores, you know, you have to do them and stuff like that. They assign you all these classes. They assign you a case manager. Luckily, you get one that's worth a damn because you ain't going to find one unless you got to be independent and just get out of it. It's owned by Catholic Charities.
Yeah.
Now, how the hell is Catholic Charity? Now, anything that got Catholic, that's hell, white, shouldn't even be existing because, you know, they get all this money. You know, they own, like, buildings. You know, I'm pretty sure one of the buildings I'm in is probably owned by them. I'm pretty sure one of the buildings you own, that you in, you know, we might own them all sooner or later one day. The building you in is owned by them, you know.
I'm in a secret building. Call looking for homeless. I'm in a
Like, I think mine's just like Catholic Charity. But once you start, like, looking at the numbers of everything, like, I did a research on people on welfare and, like, housing and stuff. And it's kind of funny that there's more white folks that get more food stamps, government substance, than black or melanated people. But then when you look at it,
they said more white people.
Go ahead.
I mean, they would say that's because there's more white people in the country. But I'd say they've been getting handouts since day one, since they stepped foot on the shore, the goddamn handout. So if anybody's been getting handouts.
Yeah. So when I say to the whole unhousing thing, it's more than in humanitarian. I mean, it's – well, the thing about it is like, you got to look like, when you look at our people, like, our people, when we struggle, like, we struggle, and we go through a real good, hard struggle. We struggle, but we don't forget how far that struggle can keep us moving forward, you know, like, build our backs up strong, where we can, you know, we was built to outlast struggles. You know, we was built to come out of it, you know, some of us, you know, because, you know, you got some people that just don't understand the whole thing about living and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole government substance, you know, like, for instance, when I was homeless, or I'm going to say when I was a transient, because I know where my true home is, so I'm not away from home. I was transitioning from place to place. When it came to, like, on welfare, like, with my kid's mother, so, like, I think it was my son's mother, but the thing about it is the whole Willie Lynch syndrome is basically the whole government. You know, and it's sad when you see a black family, like a real black family, like on the streets, whether they're young, old, or whatever, as long as they have, like, you know, when you can see something that they have that common sense about survival and doing it. Because, like, when you have, like, the white families and stuff like that and the different things that they do, you know, it's going to be a little bit different, and they're going to get a whole different treatment, you know, because even, like, with our own women, you know, I've seen black women, like, on the streets that get, you know, and they might be homeless and turned out on all kind of drugs and stuff like that. You know, my thing is they're going to help somebody non-melanated before they will help somebody that's melanated. So they're going to be out there suffering more on the streets. So then they sit up there and they try to close down the blocks so, like, nobody can get access to something that we already have access to in the first place. You know, and
right.
The government sets up a lot of this shit, you know, to make people into the situations that they be in, and they think they're going to clear it up.
Well, I don't, they think out of sight, out of mind, but they're not clearing up anything. All they're doing is pushing the problem to another city.
And see, that's what I'm saying, and what's going to happen is they're going to keep on, like, pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it to the fact that it's going to get out of hand where they're going to start tripping. And that's what I see.
They're going to start.
I see chipping, like, chipping people.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
what,
like,
I'm saying.
Putting chips.
You're talking about microchipping people.
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing it to people in prisons, like in California, I heard. I think it was California and somewhere else. And it was something I was reading, and I was researching with a couple of people I knew. And they had ran that by me. You know, and that's something I would have to ask Shabaka if he know anything about, too, in California. You know, as far as, like, people getting out of prison, you know, because chipping. But, I mean, like, it's kind of like you either going to take this or you're going to be out on the street. You see what I'm saying? So it's like they creating this whole problem. But in my opinion, everybody should have their own. Well, I mean, our people should already have a fig tree and everything else in front. You know, everything that was due promise that we can get, but them doing unhoused sweeps, you know, it's kind of like something that they practicing what they're doing to, like, that's going to be in a more future run. I don't know if that makes sense, but in more of a future run that they might do when they say they can come into your home, you know, and kick you out of your own home or something like that. And then you got people talking about bearing arms because they know that something might happen where they'll try to come and take that. So, I mean, it's like kind of like the same situation that's going on.
Okay, this is still not going the way I want it to go. So, what are your thoughts on
the policy? Well, which way did you want it to go?
I was talking about the politics, and I was going to get at the heart of the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party is establishment in Denver, and they have been allowing these policies for the past 10 years. They've been allowing things such as the urban camping ban, which is an inhumane ban. They've been passing laws such as in covenants, where if you're blocking the right-of-way or the sidewalk, your camp can be swept like trash. It wasn't until recently they even had to give notice that they were going to do these sweeps. they call them cleanups, but they're more like sweeps, because they're sweeping people like trash. So I wanted to know what your thoughts, and whoever called in, what their thoughts are on the urban camping ban, which makes it illegal for you to lay down, cover yourself from the elements with anything besides your own clothing. You could be arrested, ticketed, or harassed just for covering yourself with a tent, a tarp, a sleeping bag. Anything besides your own clothing is deemed illegal in the city and county of Denver. So I was wondering what people think on that.
Well, I mean, I don't know, dude. That right there in a nutshell can go, again, many ways, because you have, like where I live, you know, you have a lot of people that have, like, a lot of drug addiction problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to go into, like, you can give them free rent for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You can give them furniture, everything, whatever you want. Nine times out of ten, if they get into a place, if they haven't been trained properly, because they might have different issues they're trying to leave behind, they're going to live in the inside just like they live in the outside. So the reason why, and I'm not going for, like, the people that's banning it, but I think a lot of the reason, because there's always two sides of the story. I think for, like, the ones that have addictions and where you see the trash and everything, that's probably because of the fact that, you know, they gave up. They don't care about their living, so they're just going to live like trashy. And that can go, it don't matter whether you melanated or non-melanated.
Did you ever think that they wouldn't be living like that if the city provided, you know, trash receptacles, hand washing stations, portable restrooms? You know, there's no portable restrooms downtown. There's nowhere for you to go use the bathroom.
And that's why I said that with all the money that this city is generating off of marijuana, where's the money going to besides the people who's living and building these lofts that's high expensive that nobody can get into, but people that have technology positions and jobs? They should build a special type of center to help gradually get them from cross-position. You know what I'm saying? Like cross-examination, like something like this, like crossing over, something like you have to bring somebody over, you know. You have to go across and try to talk with them and understand why they're the way they are and build something to help rehabilitate them. But they're not going to do that because, again, you say politics. The thing about politics is that it's a natural business to keep people down in poverty. It's been like that since the time that people figure that they can try to make material things that are tangible as a thing that's non-tangible. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the key to doing this is the stopping that is getting them all together, talking to these people. And I say people because they're not strangers. They're not nothing, nobody, no different than from me and you. But
right.
Say, hey, I'm going to get something started, and I need your vote to sit up there to help me get this started, because I know you might have an issue doing it, and that's not right because they're not trying to care for your issue.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they're caring for is their profit, and you're not a bank. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying, because, like, once being – when you become mayor, just put this into your mind. Think about something. Once you become mayor, the first thing you have to think is, in the terms of, this is my city, these are my people. You see what I'm saying? you have to give them that genuine trust thing that, you know, flip the whole Hitler shit and do it into there, you know, because they don't want, like, and I applaud you for, you know what I'm saying, even, like, I know there's other reasons why, but I know that's one of the big reasons why, because it all comes together because it deals with humanity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People that come, and it'll work. But the thing about it is, we have to make things action. We have to go out there, you know, talk to them. You know, and like I said, when I do a couple events that I'm working on, you know, I have no problem with that. Because
okay.
my issue... What's up?
Okay. So I want to know, like, your specific thoughts on the urban camping ban. Should we have an urban camping ban? Should we repeal the urban camping ban?
It's like this. Even if I said they shouldn't, they're going to do it. You see what I'm saying? They're gonna always do something. I mean, to them, it's people that don't have money. It's people who don't know how to be civilized in society, being savage. So that's where we have to be set up and we have to have that common sense about it. When we sit up there, we're like, you know what? It's inhumanitarian for what they're doing, but we have to sit up there and come in a different way, like even raising money to even build it ourselves, even if it's getting with people. But you see, it's like a line, because everybody's situation is different. You know, like, they shouldn't be doing urban camps. But then it's going to go back to what I was saying earlier. You can't ban somebody where they shouldn't live, you know, because even if we lived in the mountains and this was trees all around us and they had camping sites, are they going to sit up there and tell them you can't camp here because you don't have this type of this, you don't have this type of that, because you leave this part dirty, you know, and stuff like that. So it just... You know, that situation, like with my thoughts on there, on the bourbon ban, like I said, it's wrong, but there's always going to be that second side of the story. And it's usually going to be because it's trash and people be doing this, but people don't realize they never had that type of poverty training, you know, because I had a good friend of mine. When he got his apartment, he was still sleeping in his sleeping bed, a sleeping bag on his bed, had hand warmers, and still would leave his door open. And I was like, damn, you still used to living on the street, huh? He's like, man, I've been on the streets for like 20-some years, man. He said, I'm used to all the noise and stuff that makes me go to sleep. I got to feel like I'm there. You see what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
You can't just sit up there and just ban motherfuckers and say you can't stay here. You can't, because, you know, you have to, you know, I mean, you got to have some kind of heart to protect and sit up there and try to talk to them. But they're not talking. You got mayors that's trying to be homeless. You know what I'm saying? They homeless.
Yeah, Mike
just
talking.
To sit up there yeah, you know what I'm saying? They try to, and it's like, dude, you're fucking, you're probably not a millionaire, but you're halfway there. But you got money. You can never experience being on the street. That's not
right.
Something that these people is just waking up in the morning and say, oh, I just want to be homeless. No, man, something happened, and they don't trust something, so they feel like they want to be out in the outdoors. So is it wrong to be outside in the outdoors? No. You should be able to be out there. You see what I'm saying? But these politicians don't see that because they are the real homeless people, because they don't know where their home is at. Because watch, in 3 to 4 more years, and I want to say 3 coming, you're going to start seeing a lot of politicians and people, when that money start getting shaky, and they got to do that, when they got to start living in tents. when they got to start surviving, trying to figure out why it is RVs. It's like, man, sometimes people don't want to be homes because we transition. You know, sometimes some people just don't like living indoors. They might want to just live outside and don't know how to do it. You see, they got to know how to talk to people. So, I mean, I'm with you on that. You know, it goes a long way.
Okay, and in regards to that, Mike Kaufman, the mayor of Aurora, is in the process of passing the urban camping ban.
You know what? I would sit up there and I would tell every person that's sitting up there to set a protest and set tents and camps all around the fucking courthouse, all around there with signs. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And say, don't look at me. Look at my addiction. Look at my project. Because you don't never say problem, because you only create problems when you call it. But when you say projects, you create projects because you accomplish projects.
Mm-hmm.
So sit up there and say, man, you know, here's some of our stories, Mr. Mayor. You know what I'm saying? What's up? What do you got so much about people living out here and you don't even know our story? You just think we just going to live on the outskirts. We shop places. You know, there's people, man, that got normal jobs.
Yeah. That are unhoused.
And go back to a tent, and they just don't want to fucking, they don't trust, you know, living. And that's still right. Who gives a person the thing to sit up there and say, oh, I got the right to do this? No, you don't have the right to do that. You see what I'm saying? Man, there's enough of us. Listen, there's people that make government. If people like shut down and stop voting and stop like doing shit, like buying shit, stop doing shit and start going another way, the government as we know is going to collapse. See what I'm saying? It's going to collapse. You know, the people make the government. People need to read the Red Book, the Little Red Book. It's a Chinese book by, I'm trying to call his name, but they need to read that book. You know, because he talks about.
You talking about Mao?
The Little Red Book. It's called the Little Red Book. It's the best selling book all time. Nobody has not outsold that book.
More than the Bible?
If you look up the Little Red Book, I think it outsold. It's the best. Because I like to write, and I wanted to write a book. And I wanted to know the best-selling book all time.
Yeah.
And if you look up the greatest book sold all time, or the best-selling book all time, it's going to pull up the Little Red Book. Now, the Bible was like maybe two or three, but the thing about it is that he's talking about Bible spiritual stuff. You see what I'm saying? He's from China. Over here in America, they're going to give you a Bible, a Quran, a Jehovah Witness, a Scientology, or a chip. You see what I'm saying? Because they want you to buy more into that. But nobody knows about like the great philosophers that was up in China because, you know, Xi'an was actually in China. And I know I'm losing contract, but I'm trying to tell you is the fact that he spoke about a lot of this, what we're talking about.
Okay. So with this new administration coming in to Denver, should new administration repeal the urban camping ban?
You said new administration.
Yeah, there's an election. Election season is right around the corner. We have an election in 2023. You know, the opportunity to vote in a new council and a new mayor. What new administration do?
What's it?
In regards to our
first of all, Hunter, say that again.
What should the new administration do in regards to our unhoused neighbors?
Shit. I might have to go through this one. Go out. Okay, so if I was, okay, let me, I'm going to give you a good example. If I was, if I'm sitting up there and I'm coming in to a new administration, becoming mayor,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to sit up there and I want to make this a part of, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. And I want to make this a part of my agenda so they'll know that we're not like the same administration that's coming in. Before I even get into office, I'm going to be administrating the people. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to say, man, I'm running for mayor. And I want this to be done. I want to know your story. And if I can get time, I'm pretty sure I can, if you know, because you find a couple of people that's motivating enough, and you motivate them enough, they'll sit up there and they'll have a story to tell that's going to help out, especially if they have that trust in you, that that's what you're trying to do. And then I would sit up there and I would work on something, on trying to build a stronger community. And when I mean stronger community, I mean like housing people into where they need to be, you know, in the community, you know, and make them feel appreciated that it's just not somebody that's just coming in there that's just going to sweep it under the rug. I mean, because you see what Denver Mayor did.
Yeah.
He swept it under the rug. You know, I mean, if he didn't give a damn about black folks in the east side and sold it to the Winos district, which is Rhino, but I know I call it Winers.
Yeah.
Winos, whatever. You know what I'm saying? What makes you not think that he's going to do the same to people that's sleeping in a tent and might be dressed different? Because, like, one thing that people don't realize, homelessness is not terrorism. How can you tell if somebody's homeless or a terrorist? Because people transition. And if it's somebody that they be normally spotting out, those are the ones that they're trying to sweep out and try to make it for everybody's all work. They can't function in this, but actually they can. So my thing is getting out to the people and talk to them. You know, get that trust out to them.
Yeah. So we're joined by Lady Che. Lady Che, how are you doing today? We're discussing homelessness in Denver and what the new administration should do, or what suggestions you have for the new administration in 2023. In regards to our unhoused neighbors in Denver?
Well, a lot of it was, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't have my headphones or nothing in, and like just holding the phone, and I can't, I don't know, you got on speaker or whatever.
Yes,
okay, this is what I would say. I would say that, I would tear a lot of things apart. I would think that the unhoused should be the first thing to get addressed, and I think that they have to answer for something, like for real answer of why they do the people the way they do, you know. Even the people that have you know, vouchers and whatnot, or in experimental fucking living housing programs, I think they really need to just, I want to hear, like, why things are so nefariously done and why they don't care about their residents in these programs. I saw a lot of ugly things in the last 2 days, and I saw a lot of ugly, ugly things to where I have to really wonder, you know, like, they have an option. They choose this for reasons. And why isn't anybody hearing them? You know what I mean? A lot of people, like, when I know that when I first got housed, I still have a hard time adjusting. But when I first got house, I could not stop doing outside things sometimes indoors. You know what I mean? Like, I could not help but make a hand sanitizer prior one time. Just right there, just because I missed it, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, it's something stupid, but I couldn't help watching candlelight flicker up a wall. Just really, or go out and, like, terrorize the city. Like, I like to call terrorize the city, but go out and, like, actually patrol the city at 4 o'clock at night. Because that's what I do. I couldn't sleep. You know what I mean? Or just stare out there, just in the worst places at night. Like, it's 2-3 in the morning, you know, that you shouldn't see me just mobbing around, like, looking for, lurking, checking out shit, randomly talking to people I know, or, you know, peacemaking, or something fucking crazy that I would normally do when I was on house, you know, or look at something and be like, hey, man, let me help you real quick, and just throw out a suggestion on a lean-to, you know, or how I can't get comfortable, or, you know, like, I'm not, you know, there's sad moments because it's hard. So I would rather be something. I would rather be outside, which is really bad, than indoors because of the freedom. And I feel like I'm boxed in. I feel like I can't see everything around me. I can't control all the elements around me. You know what I mean? Because I have so much space and there's so many walls in between. Either as not like I don't feel like I feel like I extra gotta protect my house just because I would protect my house in the outside on the street. Although what? I feel blindsided, like I'm in a blind box versus more attuned because I'm outside in the elements looking at everything, seeing everything, hearing everything. And it's like when I hang out with certain people, they're looking at me like, what's wrong with her? Like, she got schizophrenia? No. I'm just triggered by certain elements outside. And it remind me, and it make me, I get frustrated when I'm inside too long because I feel like that's the freedom. That's the fucking freedom. I can't explain it, but when you're free, you'll feel it. It's like, I'm out. I'm out here, man. I don't have a time limit. We'll see. You know? And I know it's unrealistic, but also my whole life like that. You know what I mean? And so it's scary being like, you feel like it's a trap. So I don't want people to feel trapped, but I don't want them to have exactly, it can't be a pick and choose. I would redo this before.
And I have the reason why you feel trapped is just like anybody else felt trapped. You know what I'm saying? My brother felt it. My sister felt it. You see what I'm saying? And I'm talking about y'all on here. You know?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to miss. I say your name right, but, you know, I always get tongue twisted. Jay and Lake Jay. But the thing is that being free starts with your mind.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It,
right.
It, like,
I
it
feel
always,
that freedom. I'm better than a box. You see what I mean? I'm free in my mind. At the same time, I don't feel free in my mind. Yeah, I guess you're right. See, it's the situation. I would like the unhoused people to get the pallet houses, not the tiny homes. I think the pallet houses are wiser investment economically. I don't know why. I have to look into it. Don't quote me on it. I'm just saying by the way it looks and by the structure of it, and the things that it can withstand, the weather, whatnot, and it has a little cooler in the window, little door, you know, in the inside it kind of feels a little jailish, you know, a little small, but at the same time it's your own little cubby, you know, and at least you can have the elements cool and hot versus the tents, even if they are for fishing, they're not as warm as everybody likes to make them. You know?
Well, the thing
you
is,
ever got
yeah,
me one?
The thing is like being free, like the word freedom means free to mind because it's free to mind, the etymology word. So like, you know, in our culture, we would always go outside to feel the elements of the earth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that should be a choice that we should do anyways, because there's seasons. Like tonight would be a good night to sit up there. You know, some people call them seances, which is whatever, it's appreciating the Nateru and the ancestors. You see what I'm saying? But some people that might be out on the street might have that same concept, but might have other issues they're dealing with that put them out there, and they probably never thought about it like that until, like, realizing, so you know what? It's actually kind of beautiful because I can look at the stars. That's what I did when I came out. So I always made sure I could see the stars. I don't know why, but I always did it. And now I see why. You know, so I always did that. You know,
I think too, that we can abolish the police. I think that the Denver Charter is I had a plan initially of how I would like to see Beach Cave. And then I had to look at that because that seems to be the barrier for my exploration on my MIT application for what I would want to do. If, you know, so just an average Joe, what I would want to see happen, you know, I'm just a regular person. And I would think that, I would do a lot of punishing and firing, especially when we're in Colorado. Is it out will state? You know, that it, yeah, will.
Yeah.
I would change a lot of things there if that's where I would start, and I would really take down, not really take down the union, I would restructure all their police things. I would take out the ones that have already either one bad comment or one bad recommendation, everything. And I would replace that whole system. Like, I pretty much fire everybody and recreate a different police.
Yeah.
But not the police. You know, everybody looks like it was something different, but it just be the same type of situation. Minus certain things. You know what I mean? I feel like you shouldn't have to have a gun to solve a fucking critical situation. You should have one for, like, a serious emergency situation. I would be, though, too, because if they get edgy, jumpy, scary, I can't risk my life like that. Who can risk your life knowing that if they really don't like you, they can get scared quite easily just by sneezing? Very quick, quick-sided move all of a sudden, you know? And then take 2 years, and then you fucking settle out, and it's all this shit. It's Dave, taxpayers paid. I don't want that. I don't want the city to keep paying for their fucking errors. I want them to pay for their errors, like, for real pay for their errors. Give me your house. Give me your assets. You know what I mean? Give me everything. You lose everything. You know? I don't want the state to keep paying for their fuck-ups. You know? They have to be punished like that in order for it to be make sense, you know, to be effective, I think. Give me all your assets. Give me everything you got. You no longer can wear that badge. You no longer are considered a peace officer. You don't know what peace looks like. You don't know how to behave yourself. Get out of here. You're lucky if you get a job at fucking the gas station. No flyer recommendations. I don't know. Make one up. 2022. But check and believe, they're going to come looking around. They'll find this out. I canned your ass. Get the fuck out of here. But yeah, two bad complaints of, you know, rough aggressiveness. Get the fuck out. You can't be here. You look like you're an asshole. You're just possible. Hey, bitch. That will stay. Just have to make sense on paper. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. A lot of things need to be gone. Like, they gotta go. Start fresh. Fuck it. You know what I mean? City council, I would readdress that too if I had that type of power. I would think right now the only motherfuckers worthy of keeping their job, and not because they're popular, it's probably Candy Fubaka right now, currently at this rate, and probably Cashman. I mean, yeah, I'll throw him in there. That's the only one that I can probably tolerate. At least is trying to do something. For Candy, he at least looks busy. He looks like he cares. That's all that matters. He's looking like he cares, right? But the other one is actually doing the work. she gets to stay, you know, and everybody else in their off-brand white talking PowerPoints. I mean, like, they're conditioned to talk like that. I think it's a good thing about this mayoral thing. I think it's a good thing personally, but only because I have that fire, like, it's majorly aggressive, and I believe power is, like, taken, and I'm just that dick about it, right? Honestly, because at this point, when you ask them nicely, you ask people to do all, you know, what people want to see is, or at least this is the consensus, serious change. Well, how does serious change really happen? You got to go fucking do it. You know what, I'm just going to go ahead and move it. Is it okay with you if I go ahead and situate myself over here and be this person? Nah, fuck that. You got to move. You got to move those pieces. You're going to be the one that has to take it because you have to take it. They can't give it to you. No matter what, everybody who you, like, you have support, whatever way of the past, yeah, count them out. Sell out. Just off top, just save yourself the emotional grief and just really go hard. I feel like that. But I feel like it'd be effective. Would I win by their standards? Fuck no. They're not going to let me win. That's why I would take it. You know what I mean? Go there, take it. Sorry, man. Today is your day to vacate this seat. I've been here for 10 minutes and no one else popped in this office except to grab your box of goodies off your desk. I'm going to go ahead and sit right here. Thank you. No, I said thank you. Good day, sir. You know what I mean? Call whoever you want. Same. You know, like, that doesn't work out there. Listen to my brother, man, tell me a story about that shit. And you still say, what happens? You're going to have to do that. You don't really know what you're capable of until you go and do that. Look, everybody thought the motherfucking president of the UK was just going to sit back and take all that shit. You get it back. You know, that's the only fucking crazy thing, right? You never know what a person's capable of. And they might be a fucking good leader. But we're going to count him out because he's a regular guy. Controversial moments, like everybody does it. I like how motherfuckers like to point that out, but they can't point out their own shit. You know, like, I want to see him do it. I want to see him do it, and if my heart keeps it going for as long as I can, I hope that fire would just transfer off. Because it's an energy that's like, fuck, man, you know, what do you got to lose at this point? You know what I mean? And, like, I think it's okay. I think if you give everybody, even though that's not really what we are, right? But you have to be enemies, and you have to be for the people. You got to look at it, this is all of this is a humanitarian issue. And, of course, we're number one now. For first, whether they want to or not, except if everything is tolerable, tangible for everybody, since that's how we're going to play it, if that's what you want to say, if that makes them feel better, you know, some people
so
should allow them to.
Why would you want something tangible?
Not a lot of people deserve this new change. Some people just don't deserve this new change.
Why would you want something?
Because, you know, man, what? Like, so listen, y'all know the difference between tangible and non-tangible, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So a tangible thing.
That was a tangible or reasonable caveat.
That's going to sit up there that really don't exist. That's going to actually
disappear.
So,
that shit does exist. It's just right there.
No, I'm not disagreeing or agreeing with nobody. What I'm saying is that if your mind state is on something that you want tangible enough to them and you want it, and even if you do get it, who's to say that it's going to be on the terms that you want? But if you
I'm hearing you. You stay on code. I got you. But what I'm saying to you is, I don't think at this point, look, this is the difference between me and who's playing Reagan. Because I like a play. I don't think Charlie Cruz is her beneficial change when they've been having it real, real nice and beautiful for a long time. You know, that I don't think so. I think they can just get that middle class shit right now. You know, deal with that for a little bit. Then we're going to knock you down a peg or two, you know, so you get some understanding of why this fucked up. Like, I'm going to teach you a lesson, you know. That's the difference between I and Mr. Paris. My thoughts is this, though. My thoughts is this. Do you know what each particular group of people in this city, because that's how it's determined, right? Your constituency, whether they're Caucasian, Asian, Black, poor, beyond destitute, wherever they are, whatever they are, brown, yellow, whatever, male, female, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know what is tangible for each of them, really tangible, and what they've already gotten? And then whatever they have already gotten, don't give them that shit again. Whatever they didn't deserve, take it back.
It's windfall money.
Some people are not deserved, dude. When they're on the back of their
work. Windfall money.
You're right.
Well, the whole solution could be like ended.
Yeah, it's real bad. But, I don't know, man.
But the thing about it is, but listen, eons and eons ago, before there was even one fucking pale white person, before even the offspring of a white person came, it was all melanated people. And there was a certain amount of melanated people that fell because they got trapped into the soul and didn't want to find the spirit. So when those that had the spirit, because they was trying to find them because they was in Sahu, you see what I'm saying? So when you're in your Sahu, you know, you want to sit up there and find that spirit. You see, that's where when she was talking about your Yorugu, when she was talking about Asilis, people that don't have a spirit, white folks, who's away from home. Now, these same white folks that actually was cursed Black folks that fell, that's actually turning Kunin into the leprosy that they're going to come into. If they're not going to sit up there and help out a cause, and they're sitting up here trying to destroy a cause, they're going to create something that's going to be false enough to destroy you mentally, physically, and spiritually. You know, they're gonna do that. So you can't really. What's destined in this prophecy, what I see, it's going to get worse before it get better, but it won't get better until somebody gets better with them, with their logical thinking that has that more ma'at, righteous direction to sit up there to go into.
Right.
Because they're going to keep on unhousing. You see what I'm saying? They're going to keep creating shit. But we have to be creative and sit up there and tell them, hey, this is what the fuck we going to do. You know what I'm saying? That's why I told people I'm against reparations. Oh, man, fuck that shit, man. I'm going to create my own goddamn fucking bubble gum with cards, the real one. You know what I'm saying? Something that's real because, you know, rubber did come from out of Kemet because that's what the old Mets did when they played rubber ball. But the thing about it is they steal shit.
Yeah, they still.
Yeah, but
you see where I'm coming from? Because we go ahead. No, I was just saying, like, but y'all see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They steal so much shit that they try to recycle it back to us, and then they go and they try to sweep people and say you don't have the right to live here. Motherfucker, first of all, when we was in our own land, like here, we was doing our crops. We didn't even know what, first of all, houses, we never built shit out of cement like that. We built shit out of minerals. You know what I'm saying? But it was more with the sky and how we was living. But then you try to come along and tell her, I can't live the way I want to live. That sounds like when they came and raided Kemet. But you got to be careful about, because there's some of their people who might be sitting up there losing their position and trying to live out there and get guns and shit and try to kill us off and shit like that and do secretly stuff. You know, it's like a big picture on that. You can't tell somebody where not to live and stuff like that. You know, I agree with that. But you got to also understand it comes from a fucked up race, if you want to call them a race of people that don't even know where they're going or where they came from or even how to walk the rock, to walk the walk, to walk, to go the walk. You see what I'm saying? They don't know shit. You know, I didn't mean to cut y'all off, but, you know. I can understand what y'all, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
What do you think, Jesse, about
that? Yeah, I was trying to say, I don't understand how you are against criminalization of homelessness, but you're against reparations. It doesn't make any sense.
You're talking about me.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
And if I feel, did you say what he said?
No, listen, reparations, again, why would you go ask? Mm-hmm. Your oppressor. Who's been oppressing you?
There's a difference between that. Demand. No, I've been listening.
Because, listen, they can't pay us back for the shit they did to us. There's not no money in the world. And trust me when I say that. There's no money in the world that can pay for the shit that our ancestors went through. There's no money in the world. There's nothing that they could give that can even add up.
Okay, so
to what
no
they
money.
Did.
So you don't want
but
no
the
money.
Thing, listen, I got the money because I know how to do it the right way that I'm trying to show our people how to do it. Same way they took it, I'm going to do it the same way they did it. But I'm just using what our ancestors put in the sky for us to get. It's just like the, I can't think of the vice president's name from Zimbabwe, but he said the colonizers came and took shit and then they came back again as investors.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the same way people buy into all this technology, all this shit, all everything that, you know, like they say, oh, man, the fucking Indians got reservation. They got land. Where's our land? That is our land. Why the fuck you just don't take it back and do what the fuck we need to do and organize some shit and take it back? That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. But I'm not going to, I mean, but I'm saying I'm not going to disrespect our ancestors.
Places to go.
By the fact they're saying that I'm going to ask for 40 acres in the new.
It's not asking.
And they knew that
it's not
that's
asking.
Where reparations come from.
No.
Well, no, because black folks are sitting up there saying we need our reparations. We need what y'all took back from us because you're giving it to everybody else that is not me. But the thing about it is they don't give a fuck about us in the first place. And when they sat there and gave that bullshit ass lie, they was in the process of taking our women.
Okay, they got
white offspring. No, I'm serious.
The slave owners got reparations. Everybody got reparations. But
well, slave owner ain't shit but a fucking white owner.
Yeah, but this is going to a whole nother topic. The topic was homelessness. I just wanted to draw the comparison that you said that you were against criminalizing homelessness and you're against reparations. And we're down to our last 15 minutes. So it's almost time to start.
I think that, you know, at the end of the day, like every day, I've said this, every day, some new piece of information comes out. And every day we're clapped to change almost a small part of a choice that we made. You know what I mean? And so every day, something's going to change in that aspect. Maybe it might be a view or maybe it might be a caveat or something like that. And, you know, he said what he said. So we could do.
But no, it's just the fact that, like I understand where you're coming from, brother. You know what I'm saying? I'm not knocking that. But this is just how I am. And I'm explaining to you from my research. You see what I'm saying? Yes. Would I want something back from them? Hell yeah, you're going to give me back everything. But you know what I'm saying? I had a situation in my family where land was taken from my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother from white folks with oil. You know what I'm saying? So my life story is a little bit different than most, and I choose to, you know, share it with people. But I know when it comes to them taking land, I know that everything's going to be given back. But you have to put forth an effort into, like, putting it into things that you know you're going to get it back in. Because when they was taking land, they wasn't sitting up there coming up to you and saying, we're going to help you make money. They was coming up there saying, we're going to give you an offer on something and judge you on your appearance and what you are. And when you look at, like, a lot of, like, especially down south, especially with education, a lot of black folks probably didn't have that high education like white folks was trying to have. So they was tricking them out of their money. They was tricking them out of their money. You see what I'm saying? To steal. So if not, something is not big and due, I probably got the biggest out of anybody. And trust me when I say that. Because I know what my last name is, and I know where my birth chart, and I know where I come. I'm just helping out other brothers and sisters. Because trust me, when my shit will fall, it's going to fall good. And I want it to fall on our people. Because I want to help other people get that same thing. But to sit up there and you go and say, you know, like, if Biden right now asked you to come on, and you want to talk about reparations, what's the first thing you're going to ask him about it? And he says, I'm going to go ahead and grant you some reparations or something. What do you want? Like, what are y'all going to actually tell him? Even if it's not him, what if it was the president? What are you going to tell them if they say, yeah, we're going to give all African-Americans reparations that's due for what we did for killing, taking land, stealing culture, brainwashing us from astrology, that's the real ancestral way of going to the rim. Just the whole line, it's not enough in that time to pay us back. When karma comes back around, it's going to fall down. You know what I'm saying? But you make an uproar about it, but then you sit up there and you take it. And what I mean by taking it is you sit up there and you go about it in another way to sit up there to how to get it. It's not letting them say, oh, yeah, I agree. They do need it. Man, fuck them crackers. You know what I'm saying? Nat Turner was, the Confessions of Nat Turner was the best book that anybody can read because he killed all them white folks and stuff. It's because he watched his family get murdered by the white family. He watched the family murder his family and take over his plant, his property and make it a plantation. Just read the book. It's a real good book. You can download it on pdfdrive.com. When the ancestors invoked on him, that's when he went and he started killing them. You know, but you can even do it without bloodshed, but some of us may not have that in them. You see what I'm saying? Trust me.
All right. Well, we're down to our last 9 minutes, so I guess we should start making our closing statements. Ladies first.
Let your queen go first.
Yeah, ladies first. Ladies first. Lady Trey. Lady Trey.
Yes. Yes, sorry.
Your closing.
my closing is this. I didn't catch the whole show. I just know that I have a lot of different, more radical, angry kind of moments right here. And you might say it's a lot, but it's just, I don't understand how no one is angry-er and ready-er, you know, you do something different-er. At the same time, I know that, you know, like, I know the change has to happen, and they have to, not have to, they need to do it differently this time. Fuck what it looks like if it's angry and it gets it done, and yet it provides everyone with realistic, I say everyone, it's because you have other constituents in your shit that you got to really look after, too. You have to look after the city. They're your people. Regardless of how we feel, right? You have to give them something, a tangible reason, because that is the whole platform you're in. But give it with realistic expectations, like immediate results. And I think that the more I research and the more I read, every day it changes something a little different. So one day I have a solid idea. If you ask me that question, I got a solid idea if I hadn't watched the news all day. You know what I mean? And then once I watch the news, now I'm a little conflicted. And I'm like, no, this is the path. I will just add this. You see what I'm saying? And that's what leads to all these extra shit that goes on in the council of bills and amendments and amend this word for this word. And so it's really stupid. A lot of things are just stupid and, like, really basic.
Yeah.
Why do we have all this wording to say the same shit? You know? I don't want to rewrite their shit like they do us. But I'm just like, let's just pause this and make it a edible fucking thing that everybody can understand. You know what I mean? Without any question, this is the rule. You know, what are the rules we've already based it on? Look, we've had a whole fucking 500 years of their shit. Like, has it really benefited anybody? Maybe in some ways here and there, yeah. Collectively, no. I think right now, especially right now, everything's so fucking dysfunctional. We live in that dysfunction. I just don't understand why we don't just actually just say the words, I just want to be dysfunctional. I like to fight. Just say that, because when you're talking about people that are peaceful and they're amongst all this dysfunction on purpose, it's like all it is just a distraction from what really is going on. A, that's our purpose. We're playing into the pregame of fucking programming. We're still doing what the fuck they want us to do. We still can't just ride on our own feelings, because now we got to take in all these other feelings. You know what I mean? And then the people that were actually saying the shit to that offended all of a sudden. You know? Like, we're always going to be wrong. Fuck it. This time we got to be the villain. Yes. What's this to everybody's a fucking tyrant in their own little way. Everybody's going to say that about you. That's what we say sometimes about motherfucking stupid face that runs the city now. They just count that in. They're going to call you this. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. I've been working on that shit all fucking week. It's hard. I've accepted every bad thing you can possibly say to me. I factored it in already. I did the equation. I got over it. You know? That's the only way power is going to be taken. You're going to have no feelings. Just do the right thing. Do the right thing for the right reason. The people. Nothing else. That's what it's a loss there. People just say whatever.
Is that movie on right now?
It's not. What?
She's on her phone. Let her finish her closing.
Yeah.
I'm cool. I think we should just be more aggressive. I personally think we should be more aggressive. I don't think passive is the way to handle anything, and I think everything needs to be swept like they sweep the out. Everything, including law department and supporters with principles and manners, ethics, and all kinds of good shit that obviously wasn't instilled in them. Yeah, I fire everybody. Real shit.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people who want these jobs, man. Don't get it twisted. There's plenty of people that want these jobs. They just gave them to the wrong greedy motherfuckers.
Yep. Is that it for your closing?
That's all I got to say. Black power, black love. Thank you, gentlemen. I'm just passionate today. I'm close to my birthday. Coming in fiery.
Okay. Lady Che for calling in. LaJosh, what's your closing?
Nah, just have a blissful night.
Okay.
That's it, black power, black love, and
on top of that is because, you know, brother, you know, hopefully it wasn't no confusion on my half here, but, you know, enough that you know what you got to do, actually, because everything is going to flow, you know, as far as the unhoused, it's just that whole topic. You know, it's always a shipwreck because there's so many things that goes on with it, and you want to anchor it the right way so it don't hit a rock, but it hit land, if that makes sense. So,
yeah.
You know, the ball's in your court, brother. You know, you got it. You know.
Okay.
I think you're ready, and the more you should be a little bit more upset. Just to make sure you're ready. Because I feel like
he's upset. I know he is.
Yeah, I think that he's ready. I know it's going to be hard, man. Like, this is a design for fucking, I'm already, okay, hold on a second. It's a design for already, I don't want to give up just sitting here, you know what I mean? But I know I can't. I can't. I'm competitive. I'm just channeling that to him. Like, this is the only way we're going to get through it. You got to be, like savage about this at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. All right, we're about to go into overtime, so I'm going to give my closing. In regards to our unhoused neighbors, we need to stop sweeping them like trash. The urban camper ban needs to be repealed. We still have laws on the books, such as the urban camping ban, which is so reminiscent of Jim Crow and black code laws from the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries and 20th centuries. We can do better, Denver. We spent all this money in 2019 lying to Denver voters saying Initiative 300 wasn't the answer and that we can do better. Well, it's been 3 years later, Denver, and we're still not doing better. So it looks like it's going to take a new administration, a new council, and a new mayor, i.e. myself, to change anything in regards to our unhoused neighbor situation. If there's a home, I believe that house.
Ben, Denver, we don't know
that. I'm giving my statement.
I apologize.
We need to stop these sweeps. They are unconstitutional. They've been ruled unconstitutional. We just lost somebody that was responsible for getting the notices for the camps, Ray Lyle. He celebrated his mourned his passing. Enough is enough of this shit. The urban camping ban needs to be repealed. People need to stop being swept like trash. We have 26, 27, probably 28,000 now vacant luxury apartments. There's no reason why anybody who wants a home does not have a home besides corporate greed and corruption. So we need a new administration in 2023, a new council, and a new mayor. And that's the only way anything's going to change in this city in regards to our unhoused. So thank you to our callers, LaJosh and Lady Che. Make sure y'all check us out at a regular scheduled time on Tuesday. On Tuesdays, Shabbat
Shabbat.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. City Council tomorrow get a special edition today. So we won't be having a show tomorrow, Black family. So I know y'all expect a show on Tuesday, but this Tuesday there will not be a show. So next Tuesday there will be a show. And make sure you check us out on Frontline Black News every Saturday at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard. Make sure you check out the Revolutionary Agenda on Thursdays at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And make sure you check out other independent black media such as Outlaw Radio, such as Black I Stand Radio, and the list goes on and on. So we're in the overtime. Please don't hang up. I am your host, Chan Krumah. Shabaka wasn't able to join us tonight. He's on the road. So thank you to our two callers that called in. And I'm going to go out.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
You
know, we need that debate.
Yeah.
We need that back and forth because that's the only way I think we're going to be able to process any of this shit to do the right thing.
Well, you know, the opposition is good.
It's healthy.
You know what opposition is? It's like, you got to remember, because I'm studying right now, because I got to take this test next month to be the first licensed certified astrologer. So opposition means that you have to have opposition. Opposition is not bad. Opposition is good. Opposition is sharpening in iron with iron.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm going to sit up there. I'm going to give you full, just like I give him. Because, you know, somebody that it's like this.
Okay,
his brother's
so
running for mayor. He has a good purpose. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we don't have time for dialogue. We're in overtime. So I got to end the show out. Again, thank you all for calling in. Like I said, check us out usually on every Tuesday, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and check out our other shows. Make sure you check out frontlinecampaign.org, the website, and we will be back next week with a brand new episode. And the air date of this show was March 28th, 2022, and we're going to go out with Ship Ahoy, Peace, Love, Light, and Black Empowerment.
Black Power.
Peace.
feeling so strong, they're just waiting to be saved. Oh, I'm so dying, and I know you're dying too. Look over the horizon, see the sun shining down on you.
Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy.
And true.